हरे कृष्णा। सो विल बी टॉकिंग इन दीज फ्यू डेज अप टू जन्माष्टमी अबाउट द वंडरफुल क्वालिटीज ऑफ श्री कृष्णा। श्री कृष्णा इज द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड एंड कृष्णा इज कंप्लीट with his name, fame, beauty, qualities, his abode, his devotees, and so on. In other words, to understand Krishna means to understand all these things completely. To understand his name, to understand his fame, to understand his pastimes, his abode, his devotees, and therefore also his divine qualities. Krishna has many qualities, and that is what makes them attractive. We are attracted to people in this world depending on what kind of qualities they have. Different qualities attract different people. Someone is attracted to a very wealthy person. Someone is attracted to a very renounced person. Someone is attracted to beauty. Someone's attracted to intelligence. So we are all attracted to different qualities that exist in people. It is the qualities that makes somebody attractive. Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is complete in unlimited qualities. And therefore he is, by definition, unlimitedly attractive. Krishna's opulences, Krishna's qualities, his sweetness, and his various other attributes are the subject of discussion in all the revealed scriptures. Today we'll be talking about his qualities in general, and depending on how the discussion goes, perhaps tomorrow also, we'll talk about some of the specific qualities tomorrow that have been extracted by Srila Rupa Goswami from the various revealed scriptures and compiled in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And thereafter, for the next few days, we'll specifically talk about four very special qualities that Krishna has, which even Narayan, the Supreme Lord, doesn't have. So we'll be relying a lot on that magnum opus of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is an unlimited gold mine of nectar about all these different aspects of Krishna. When we understand Krishna through the teachings and life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it's so much easier to understand Krishna, and it's also so much more relishable, and we are confident that we are understanding it the right way, in the right mood. And Srila Prabhupada's translations, his purports, are further very, very illuminating and make everything so simple for us to understand. Krishna is not easy to understand, but by the mercy of the previous acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, all these things have been brought down to us. It is our great fortune that now we can have access to try to understand all these wonderful attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna. And he goes on to describe how these opulences or these qualities actually are unlimited. Ei mato Krishna divya sadguna ananta Brahma Shiva Sanakadi Napajara Anta. Krishna Divya Sadguna. Divya means transcendental, Sad means also actually spiritual. So Krishna has Ananta or unlimited transcendental qualities, Mahaprabhu says. And so much so that even Brahma, Lord Shiva, Sanakadi, that means the four Kumaras led by Sanak, Sanatan and so on, they cannot fathom the end of these qualities. There are so many. In the Srimad Bhagavat also there is a nice verse which has been quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gunatmanaste pigunan vimatum hetvavatirnasya ka isharesya kalena yairva vimita sukalpair bhupan shavakhe mihika dibhasah. In time, great scientists may be able to count all the atoms of the universe. Bhu Panshavaha. All the stars and planets in the sky. Dyubhasaha. And all the particles of snow. Khe Mihika. But who among them can count the unlimited transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He descends on the surface of the globe for the benefit of all living beings. In other words, it is impossible to understand completely or even count the various transcendental qualities that Krishna has. Great personalities like Brahma, Shiva, etc. have tried but failed. And to give an example of the impossibility of it, a nice analogy is given here, that one day we may be able to count the atoms in the universe. Now that itself is an impossibility, isn't it? Can we imagine somebody counting the atoms in the whole universe? It's not possible. What about the particles of snow? What about all the planets and stars in the sky? It's practically unlimited. So therefore, to understand Krishna's qualities is very, very difficult. And that doesn't end here. It's not that only Brahma and Shiva and the four Kumaras and sages like that cannot count Krishna's qualities. Mahaprabhu goes on to say, Brahmadirahu sahasra vadane ananta nirantara gaya mukhe napai gunir anta. Brahma adi rahu. Leave aside Brahma and the others. What to speak of Brahma? Sahasra vadane ananta. Even the thousand mouthed Ananta, Lord Ananta, nirantar gai mukhe. In his lotus mouth, he is constantly singing the glories of Krishna. Na pai guner anta. Still, he is not able to reach the end or the conclusion of Krishna's pastimes, of Krishna's qualities, guner anta. So therefore, how is it possible for any ordinary person to do so? Mahaprabhu goes one step further. Sheho rahu, leave aside even Anantadev. What to speak of Anantadev? Seho rahu sarvagya shiromani shri krishna nijaguner anta na pai hayana satrishna. What to speak of Ananta? Even the all-knowing Sarvagya, the supreme Shiromani, Shri Krishna, cannot understand his own qualities. And Satrishna means he always is eager to want to know his own qualities. Even Krishna cannot count his own transcendental qualities. That is how great Krishna's qualities are. And Krishna is very eager, Mahaprabhu says, to understand his own self, his qualities, qualitatively and quantitatively, he wants to know. Actually, that is one of the reasons he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami in the Adi Leela has explained this. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayaiva. He wants to know Sri Radhayah Pranaya Mahima, the glories of Srimati Radharani's love. There is one reason why Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Asvadyo yena adbhuta madhurima kidrisho va madiyaha. He also wants to know that yena, by that love that Srimati Radharani has, asvadyaha, the experience that she has of adbhuta madhurima va madiyaha, what are those extraordinarily sweet and wonderful qualities in me that Srimati Radharani relishes through the medium of that love? Saukhyam chasya mad anubhavatah kidrisham veti lobhat. And what is the happiness that she experiences in that process? So it is for these reasons that Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the second reason is that Krishna wants to understand his own sweet, wonderful qualities, adbhut madhurima. Later on in this text, Kaviraj Goswami has also quoted Mahaprabhu as saying that Krishna is Divya Guna Gana Ratnalaya. Gana means the group. Divya Guna means all the transcendental qualities. That Krishna is a storehouse, an unlimited storehouse of transcendental qualities. In fact, each of these qualities is like a jewel or a gem, and he is the mine of these gems, Ratnalaya. Alaya means the abode or a mine. So Krishna has so many wonderful qualities. And especially when Krishna was in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu says, no one could find a limit to his potencies by studying his characteristics and activities. And the example Mahaprabhu gives is at the time of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Krishna created for the benefit of Brahma and for our benefit as well, many, many material as well as spiritual planets, all with their predominating deities, all in one moment. And everything was visible there to Brahma, who was completely bewildered by this extraordinary display of Krishna's opulence. And then Mahaprabhu says, ei mata anyatra nahi shuniye adbhut jahara shravane chitta hoy avadhut. We do not hear of such wonderful things anywhere else. Simply by one's hearing of those incidents, one's consciousness is agitated and cleansed. So by hearing of Krishna's qualities, our consciousness becomes clean, purified, and we become attracted towards Krishna. We can imagine, if Krishna himself is attracted to his own divine qualities, then will these qualities not be able to attract living entities like us? Even self-realized souls who may be attracted to the impersonal Brahman or to other processes of self-realization, they are also attracted to Krishna because of his transcendentally wonderful qualities that he has. So briefly today we'll discuss Mahaprabhu's explanation of the famous Atmaram verse, because this is very relevant in this connection. And then tomorrow we'll continue the theme to talk about other qualities of Krishna which are listed by Rupa Goswami. And when we analyze briefly, not completely, even Mahaprabhu's explanation given here, we will not completely study now. We'll just take a portion of it that is relevant here. And we'll see how Mahaprabhu says that Krishna's different qualities attract different types of devotees. And later he gives examples of how these different qualities have attracted different great personalities. So we'll also be chanting the verses that Mahaprabhu has chanted in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. So can I request devotees to please circulate these sheets of paper, and you can take them back with you and preserve them carefully. Some at the back also, please. Can someone please rise and someone can distribute all these? Hare Krishna. So we'll chant this famous Atmaram verse, which appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam and is also quoted by Mahaprabhu here in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Atmaramascha Munayo Nirgranthapyurukrame Kurvantyahe tukim bhaktim Ittham bhuta guno harihi Atma ramascha munayo Nirgranthapyurukrame Kurvantyahe tukim bhaktim Ittham bhuta guno harihi. Please chant. Atma Ramasya Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Harihi. Atma Ramasya Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Harihi. Atma Ramasya Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Harihi. Ladies, please. Okay, translation by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. So Atma Ram means one who is taking pleasure in the self, Atma Aram. And such a person, a sage, Munayaha, he may be Nirgrantha, he may be free from all bondage of material desires, but still Api, in spite of that, in spite of his being even on the liberated platform, still kurvanti, he performs ahaitukim bhaktim, unmotivated devotional service. To whom? To Urukrama, that Supreme Lord who performs all kinds of wonderful activities. Why is he so attracted? Because gunaha, of his transcendental qualities. And what is it about his guna or his qualities that is attractive? Ittam bhuta, they are wonderful. Harihi, Hari also is the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So in this verse we see that because Krishna has so many wonderful qualities, even the great sages who are freed from material contamination become attracted to him and they render unmotivated devotional service. The word guna or qualities has been qualified here in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the term ittam bhuta. In the translation of the verse, the word ittam bhuta, they are translated as wonderful. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to actually further elaborate upon this verse and what this word ittam bhuta really means. And he says this in his explanations of the Atmaram verse again to Sanatan Goswami. Previously, Mahaprabhu had explained the Atmaram verse in 18 different ways to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when Sanatan Goswami was keen to hear the same explanation, Mahaprabhu said that, well, I don't really remember what I was talking about. I was just speaking like a madman. But by the strength of your association, maybe I will be able to speak a few words. And then he goes on to explain in 63 different ways. And in the course of explaining this verse, he comes upon the term ittam bhuta and he says, ittam bhuta shabdera artha purnanandamay jara age brahmananda trina prayahay. The word ittam bhuta is transcendentally exalted because it means purna anandamaya, full of transcendental bliss. Jar age brahmananda trina praya hai. In front of this bliss, the so-called bliss of merging into the impersonal becomes as insignificant as a piece of straw in the street. So the word ittam bhuta means that it is full of transcendental bliss. So when the verse uses the term ittam bhuta gunaha, we must understand that Krishna's qualities are also full of transcendental bliss and they are capable of producing transcendental bliss in one who hears about them or contacts them in some way. And then to illustrate this, Mahaprabhu speaks one verse which appears in the Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya. Actually, it is this verse has been spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. And it explains how, by coming in contact with Krishna and his divine qualities, one experiences so much bliss that the bliss of impersonal realization becomes completely insignificant in comparison to that. So this is the second verse that is there in the sheet in front of you. So let us chant this verse. Tvat sakshant karunahlada vishuddhabdhi sitasya me sukhani goshpadayante Brahmanyapi jagadguru tvat sakshant karunahlada vishuddhabdhi sitasya me sukhani goshpadayante Brahmanyapi jagadguru ब्राह्मण्यपि जगद्गुरो So each time different devotees can chant, so everyone gets a chance. It's good to practice chanting these verses. These transcendental sound vibrations are not ordinary words. They appear in the scriptures and they have been quoted here directly by the Lord Himself. So it's very purifying and sweet for us to chant these verses and we can actually relish the subject matter more. So please chant each time different devotees. त्वत्साक्षात् करणाह्लाद विशुद्धाब्धि स्थितस्य मे सुखानि गोष्पदायन्ते ब्राह्मण्यपि जगद्गुरो त्वत्साक्षात् करणाह्लाद विशुद्धाब्धि स्थितस्य मे सुखानि गोष्पदायन्ते ब्राह्मण्यपि जगद्गुरो एनी माताजीस त्वत्साक्षात् करणाह्लाद विशुद्धाब्धि स्थितस्य मे सुखानि गोष्पदायन्ते ब्राह्मण्यपि जगद्गुरो Translation by Srila Prabhupada My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. Tvat Sakshat. Sakshat means directly. Tvat means you. So now that I have seen you, Karana, directly I have seen you, I have experienced it. My Ahlada, my spiritual happiness, is not ordinary happiness. Ahlada means happiness, and to clarify that it's spiritual, he says Vishuddha. It's not the happiness that's part of this world. I'm experiencing something transcendental. And abdhi, that means an ocean. So now that I am seeing you, your beauty, directly, O Lord, I am situated in an ocean of transcendental bliss. And brahmani sukhani, the happiness of merging into the impersonal Brahman, O Jagadguru, O Lord of the universe, O Guru of the universe, is Gosh Padayante. Gosh Pada means the hoof print of a calf. So compare an ocean to the water in the hoof print of a calf. Really speaking, there is no comparison because there's such a huge difference. So also, the happiness of directly experiencing Krishna's qualities like his beauty and so on are so intense, so great, that it doesn't compare to anything else. And then Mahaprabhu continues in his analysis of Ittam Bhuta, and he says, Sarvakarshaka Sarvaladaka Maharasayan Apanana Bole Kore Sarva Vismaran. So he uses three terms which are also names for Krishna. The first is Sarva Akarshak. That means Krishna is all attractive. And that's what the term, the word Krishna means actually. Second, Sarva Ahladaka. Hlada, that means happiness. We know the Hladini Shakti, right? We've heard of that. or Prahlad, Prakrishta Rupena Ahlad, Prahlad Ahlad Daine. So one who gives Ahlad or spiritual happiness to Prahlad, the very word Prahlad also means transcendental happiness. So Krishna is Sarva Ahladaka. He can bestow transcendental bliss to everyone. So by his nature, he is all pleasing. And the third name for Krishna that's given here is Maharasayan. Generally, in everyday language, the word Rasayan refers to a particular tonic. So Krishna is a different kind of tonic. So the word is not used in that sense here. It's used in the word in the sense of being the abode, the complete abode of all rasas or transcendental mellows. The word ayan has many meanings, but the most important meaning is abode, just like Narayana. Nara refers to the aggregate of all the living entities, and ayan refers to the abode or the resting place. So the Supreme Lord is the abode or the resting place of the aggregate of all living entities. Therefore he is called Narayana. So similarly, Krishna is Rasayana. Rasayana means that he is the abode of all rasas, of all transcendental mellows. And the word Maha has been added in the beginning to indicate that he is the complete abode. There is nothing lacking in him being the abode of transcendental mellows. Apanara bole kore sarva vismaran. And by the strength of his own qualities, he actually makes his devotees forget about any other kind of happiness. Even the happiness of impersonal realization, what to speak of the so-called happiness of sense pleasure in this world. He makes his devotees completely forget that. Because his qualities are so wonderfully attractive that the devotee cannot think about anything else. And in this way, by his wonderful qualities, Krishna binds the devotee. And how he binds is explained by Mahaprabhu next. Bhukti mukti siddhi sukha chhadai jaragandhe alaukika shakti gune Krishna kripai bandhe. There are three kinds of happiness people strive for in this world generally. Bhukti, mukti and siddhi. Bhukti means the happiness of sense gratification. Mukti is the happiness of merging into the impersonal Brahman. Siddhi is the happiness of having some yogic and mystic powers. However, if there is even a slight fragrance of understanding and appreciating Krishna's qualities, if these qualities have had even the slightest impact upon somebody, then all these three kinds of so-called happiness, chadai, they immediately make us leave that. Alaukika shakti gune Krishna kripai bandhe. And then Krishna, by his causeless mercy, by his uncommon, alaukik, extraordinary power and his qualities, he binds the devotee. Shastra yukti nahi iha siddhanta vichar ei svabhava gune jate madhurya rasar. When one is attracted to Krishna on the transcendental platform, there is no longer any logical argument on the basis of revealed scripture, nor are there considerations of such conclusions. This is his transcendental quality that is the essence of all transcendental sweetness. So why is Krishna considered the pinnacle or the acme of all sweetness? Because of these wonderful qualities. And then the devotee becomes helplessly bound, attracted by these qualities. In this way, Mahaprabhu has qualified the word guna with ittham bhuta, and explains that Krishna's qualities by nature are transcendental, they are bliss-inducing, and they completely captivate and bind the devotee. And he goes on to analyze the word guna. which we have already explained to be quality. And he says, Guna Shabder Artha Krishner Guna Ananta Satchidrupa Guna Sarva Purna Ananda. The word Guna means quality. The qualities of Krishna are transcendentally situated and are unlimited in quantity. All the spiritual qualities are full of transcendental bliss. We can see that even when one particular quality is manifested in some individual who becomes very attractive to everyone, people go sometimes mad after him. We can see of the example in the case of famous personalities. People become so attracted, sometimes they commit suicide and they do all kinds of mad things. Just because a tiny fragmental portion of one of Krishna's unlimited qualities is manifesting in a reflected way in some individual. So can we imagine if that individual was to perceive and experience that same quality in its fullness in Krishna, what would be the result? And then Mahaprabhu says, Aishwarya Madhurya Karunya Swarupa Purnata Bhakta Vatsalya Atma Paryanta Vadanyata. He says Krishna's transcendental qualities of Aishwarya, that is opulence, Madhurya, that is sweetness, Karunya, that is His mercy, are perfect and full, Purnata, Swarupa Purnata. There is nothing lacking there. There is no situation in which Krishna is not opulent, He is not sweet, and He is not merciful. At all times, in all situations, He remains fully so. And also there is a fourth quality that Mahaprabhu mentions here, and that is Bhakta Vatsalya. The word Vatsa, really, strictly speaking, means Vats, coming from the word Vats, that means a calf. And Vatsalya refers to that sneha or the love that the cow has for her calf or a mother has for her child. It refers to something that is very affectionate. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, which means he is very affectionate to his devotees. And what is the limit of his magnanimity, his vadanyata, in respect of his Bhakta Vatsalya, his being affectionate to his devotees? Atma Paryanta. He is so affectionate to his devotees that he doesn't stop at even giving himself completely up to his devotees. He sells himself completely to his devotees. He becomes their slave. There is a verse that was quoted by Advaita Acharya when he was petitioning the Lord to appear. And Advaita Acharya's prayers were one of the reasons, the external reasons for Mahaprabhu's appearance. And he quoted a verse from the Puranas which says, Tulasi dalamatrena jalasya chulukeneva vikrinitam svamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. If one offers to Krishna a tulasi leaf and a little Ganga water or Jamuna water with devotion, then Krishna becomes so pleased and indebted by this service of love that he sells himself, vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktibhyaha, to his devotees. And why does he do it? Because he is bhaktavatsal. He is very affectionate to his devotees. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is glorifying Krishna's wonderful qualities and especially his quality of being very affectionate to the devotees. And then he mentions some other qualities here. He says, Alaukika rupa rasa saurabhadi guna karumana kona gune kore akarshan. Krishna has unlimited qualities. The devotees are attracted by his uncommon beauty, mellows and fragrance. Thus they are differently situated in the different transcendental mellows. Therefore Krishna is called all attractive. Alaukik means not laukik, not belonging to this world. Extraordinary, transcendental. So his Roop, Ras, Saurabh are all alaukik, transcendental. His form, that is his beauty, his transcendental mellows, his bodily fragrance, Adi means etc. All these things and his qualities are all transcendental. And karo mana kono gune kore akarshan. And different people may get attracted to different qualities. And now Mahaprabhu will start giving examples of how different personalities in the past have got attracted to different qualities of Krishna. Sanakadir mana harila saurabha adi gune. So by his quality of fragrance and so on, Saurabh Adi Gune, Sanak Adir Man Harila, he stole the mind of the four Kumaras. So the four Kumaras were attracted by Krishna's quality of fragrance. And this is that famous verse which we will chant now, in which the four Kumaras, having reached the doors of Vaikuntha, smell the fragrance of the tulsi mixed with the saffron that has been offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. And the breeze carries that aroma to their nostrils. They inhale that. And they become intoxicated with love of God because of that fragrance. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that when a tulsi leaf is offered to Krishna, then the tulsi leaf actually acquires the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And therefore the fragrance of the tulsi leaves was actually, in one sense, the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet and his transcendental body as well. So the four Kumaras became completely transformed. So let us read that verse now. That's the third verse in the sheet in front of you.
Tasya Arvinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antargata Svavivarena Chakarate Sham Sankshobhamaksharajusham apichitta tanvoh Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antargata svavivarena chakarate sham Sankshobham aksharajusham apichitta tanvoh
Please chant.
Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antargata Svavivarena Chakarate Sham Sankshobham Aksharajusham Apichitta Tanvoh Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjalka Mishra Tulasi Makaranda Vayuhu Antargata Svavivarena Chakarate Sham Sankshobham Aksharajusham Apichitta Tanvoh
Mataji, anyone?
Tasyarvinda nayanasya padarvinda Kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayuhu Tahgatah svavivarena chakaratesham Sankshobham aksharajusham apichitta tanvoh.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulasi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those great sage of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Tasya means him, Aravinda Nayanasya, of him who has Aravinda Nayana. Nayana means eyes, Aravinda means lotus. Padarvinda, lotus feet. Kinjalka means saffron. Mishra tulas, mishra is mix. Makaranda vayuhu. Vayu is breeze. And makaranda is a nice Sanskrit word that means fragrance or aroma. Saurabh, makaranda, they mean more or less the same thing. So the makaranda vayuhu was of the mishra, the mixture of kinjalka and tulasi, the tulasi leaves with saffron that were offered padarvinda at the lotus feet of whom? Aravinda nayanasya, of him who has lotus eyes. And then what happened after that? Antargataha, that fragrance, that aroma went right inside into the hearts, sva vivarena, through the nostrils, chakaratesham, into them. Sankshobham caused agitation. Aksharajusham, they had earlier been absorbed in the impersonal Brahman, but now they started experiencing great changes in both the body and the mind. So in this way we see an example of how the quality of Krishna's fragrance, etc., attracted these great sages who were not quite devotees at this time, but they became devotees by this experience. The next quality that Mahaprabhu talks about is his pastimes. He performs so many wonderful pastimes, and when you hear about these pastimes, automatically you become attracted. And the example of that is Shukadev Goswami. Mahaprabhu says, Shukadevir mana harila lila shravane. Harila means to take away, har dhatu, that which takes away. Lila shravane, simply by hearing about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, Shukadev Maharaj's heart was stolen. He was also formally engaged in the matter of worshipping or appreciating the impersonal absolute. And then this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, first chapter, has been quoted here by Mahaprabhu as evidence. This is also a nice verse. So that's the next verse on the sheet in front of you. So let us chant this verse. So please keep these sheets of paper carefully, nicely in your file. And time to time, you can go through these verses, relish the meaning, relish the chanting of these verses, and so on. Try to read the meaning of each word, going back to the text. And in this way you will find a lot of taste in your Krishna consciousness. That will help us also to chant of the holy name better. So we'll chant this verse.
Parinishthito pinayurgunye Uttamah shloka lilaya Grihita cheta rajarshe Akhyanam yadadhitavan Parinishthitopi nairgunye Uttamah shloka lilaya Grihita cheta rajarshe Akhyanam yadadhitavan.
Please chant.
Parinishthitopi nairgunye Uttamah shloka lilaya Grihita cheta rajarshe Akhyanam yad adhitavan Parinishthitopi nairgunye Uttamah shloka lilaya Grihita cheta rajarshe Akhyanam yad adhitavan.
Mataji, sing.
Parinishthitopi nirgunye Uttamah shloka lilaya Grihita cheta rajarshe Akhyanam yad adhitavan.
Translation. Shukadev Goswami addressed Parikshit Maharaj. My dear King, although I was fully situated in the transcendental position, I was nonetheless attracted to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, I studied Srimad Bhagavatam from my father. Parinishthitaha, nishthita, parinishthita means one is firmly situated in what? Nairgunye. The word guna here refers to the three modes of material nature. Nairgunye means nirguna, that which is beyond the three modes. So nairgunye means in. Although I was firmly situated in transcendence, I was firmly beyond the three modes of nature. Still, yet, api, uttamaha shloka lilaya. Lilaya means all the pastimes. Uttamaha shloka means Krishna, he who is glorified by the choicest of poetry or the shlokas. Or it also refers to those shlokas or those words which describe Krishna and therefore destroy tama or darkness or ignorance and they make us go beyond. Uttama. Uttamaha shloka lilaya. Grihita cheta. So I accepted these pastimes in my heart, in my consciousness. I became very attracted. And therefore, akhyanam, akhyanam yad adhitavan. Therefore, I studied adhitavan, this Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of Krishna's wonderful qualities, as we are going to see in the next few days, is that he performs many, many wonderful pastimes. And when we hear about these pastimes, we become attracted. And just like the four Kumaras, Shukadev Goswami was also already transcendentally situated. He came into contact with Krishna's qualities by hearing about his Krishna's pastimes. And then he became a devotee. The next example that Mahaprabhu gives is the quality of Krishna's beauty and his wonderful features. And he mentions that it is the gopis of Vrindavan who were actually attracted. Sri Angarupe Hore Gopikara Mana. Angarupe. Sri Anga means his transcendental body and Rupa means the beauty. So the beauty of his transcendental body stole away the minds of the gopis of Vrindavan. And there is a verse that Mahaprabhu quotes here, which is the next verse on the list. This verse was spoken by the gopis. It's in the 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when they arrive at the Vanshivat, at the site of the rasa dance, and just before they begin the rasa dance, actually, they speak this verse. So we'll chant this verse. Okay. Also a very beautiful verse. Let us try to understand the meaning of each word. It makes everything so relishable. Vikshalakavritamukham Tavakundala Shri Gandasthaladharasudham Hasitavalokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshah shriyaika ramanam cha bhavamadasyah. Vikshyalakavrita mukham tava kundala shri. Gandasthaladhara sudham hasitavalokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshah shriyaika ramanam cha bhavamadasyah. Please chant. Vikshalakavritamukham tava kundala shri. Gandasthaladhara sudham hasitavalokam. Dattabhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshah shriyaika ramanam cha bhavamadasyah. Vikshyalakavritamukham tava kundala shri. Gandasthaladhara sudham hasitavalokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshah shriyaika ramanam cha bhavamadasyah. Matajis. Vikshyalakavritamukham tava kundala shri. Gandasthaladhara sudham hasitavalokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujadanda yugam vilokya. Vakshah shriyaika ramanam cha bhavamadasyah. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Dear Krishna, we have simply surrendered ourselves as your maid servants, for we have seen your beautiful face decorated with tresses of hair, your earrings falling upon your cheeks, the nectar of your lips, and the beauty of your smile. Indeed, because we have also been embraced by your arms, which give us courage, and seen your chest, which is beautiful and broad, we have surrendered ourselves. Viksha, viksha means to see. Alaka avrita mukham. Alak means the lock of hair. Avrita means to cover. Mukham is face. So the locks of hair were covering Krishna's beautiful face as he was standing there playing the flute. And then they also saw his kundala shri, his beautiful kundal or earrings. What is the shape of Krishna's earring? Shark, like a shark. Ganda sthala. And on his cheek, the earrings were on his cheeks. They were falling upon his cheeks. Adhara sudham, the nectar of his adhara. Adhara means lips. Sudha means nectar. Hasita avalokam, the beauty of his glance, his smiling glance. Hasita means a smile. Avaloka means the glance. So his smiling glance. These are different aspects of Krishna's beauty which have been glorified at different points in the scriptures, and we'll talk more about it when we talk of Krishna's beauty later on. Datta abhayam cha bhujadanda yugam. So your bhujadanda, your powerful arms, your two powerful arms, bestow fearlessness upon us. We are also seeing your beautiful chest, vilokya vakshaha, shriyaika ramanam, which is beautiful and broad. And therefore now, bhavama dasyaha, we have become your maid servants, we have surrendered ourselves completely to you. So the gopis of Vrindavan have been attracted by Krishna's quality of beauty. And then Mahaprabhu gives the example of again Krishna's beauty and especially his qualities in general, which were heard by Rukmini Devi. Rupa guna shravane Rukmini adir akarshana. All the queens of Dwarka had at some point in time heard profusely about the different glories and qualities of Krishna, including his beauty. And thus they had all become very attracted to him and desired to marry him. And in this case, Mahaprabhu gives the example of Rukmini Devi. This verse is quoted in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the letter by Rukmini Devi to Krishna when Rukmini Devi's marriage to Shishupal was imminent. It had been planned by her brother Rukmi, and Rukmini Devi did not want that. She wanted to marry Krishna. So she sent a letter through a trusted Brahmana all the way to Dwarka. And the Brahmana delivered the letter. Krishna came and took Rukmini away and married her. So this is the verse that Rukmini Devi writes. So that is the second last verse in our sheet. So let us see what Rukmini Devi is saying to Krishna. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te. Nirvishya karna vivarair haratonga tapam. Rupam drisham drishimatam akhilartha labham. Tvayachyuta vishati chittam apatrapam me. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te. Nirvishya karna vivarair haratonga tapam. Rupam drisham, rupam drisham drishimatam akhilartha labham.
Tvai achyutavishati chittam apatrapam me.
Please chant.
Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te. Nirvishya karna vivarair haratonga tapam. Rupam drisham drishimatam akhilartha labham. Tvai achyutavishati chittam apatrapam me. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te. Nirvishya karna vivarair haratonga tapam. Rupam drisham drishimatam akhilartha labham. Tvai achyutavishati chittam apatrapam me.
Matajis.
Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te. Nirvishya karna vivarair haratonga tapam. Rupam drisham drishimatam akhilartha labham. Tvai achyutavishati chittam apatrapam me.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O most beautiful Krishna, I have heard about your transcendental qualities from others, and therefore all my bodily miseries are relieved. If someone sees your transcendental beauty, his eyes have attained everything profitable in life. O infallible one, I have become shameless after hearing of your qualities, and I have become attracted to you. Shrutva gunan. Shrutva means to hear. Gunan means the qualities. Bhuvana sundara. Sundara means beautiful. Bhuvana means in this world. So, O one who is the most beautiful in this creation, I have heard about your wonderful qualities. Nirvishya karna vivareer. That sound vibration has entered through my ears into my heart, and it has completely taken away angatapam, all the miseries of my existence. In other words, Rukmini Devi is saying that simply by hearing your glories and your qualities, all my miseries have vanished. So this is a good lesson for us who are suffering here in this material world, but somehow thinking that perhaps I'm not so miserable. So if we keep on hearing Krishna's qualities, then all these miseries will automatically go away. That is the solution for all problems. Problems are many and solution is one. Rupam drisham drishimatam akhilartha labham. Rupam drisham. If someone sees your roop or your beautiful form, drishimatam, the one who sees, akhilartha labham, he has achieved everything that is possible to obtain in life. The highest achievement possible. Everything profitable in life such a person has attained simply by seeing you. And therefore now I have become hopelessly attracted to you, O Krishna, by hearing about your qualities. And then the last example, actually there's a little more, but this is the last example we'll try to do, is the example of the quality of Krishna's flute playing. And Lakshmi Devi and others are attracted. So Mahaprabhu says, Vanshi Gite Hare Krishna Krishna Lakshmi Adir Mana. Vanshi Gite, that means from the or by the song of the flute, Krishna steals the minds of Lakshmi Devi and others. So even Lakshmi herself is attracted. And here is the famous verse. that has been spoken by the wives of Kaliya to Krishna. And they are actually speaking this verse to Krishna. They had prayed that Krishna please spare the lives of their husband. And Krishna mercifully agreed. But he had bestowed tremendous mercy upon Kaliya because he had placed his lotus feet upon his hoods. So these Nagapatnis are wondering how it is that their husband, who was so envious and vicious and in a snake's body, which means he had a sinful past, could get such extraordinary mercy which even Lakshmi Devi doesn't get so easily. So here's the last verse for today.
Kasyanubhavosyana deva vidmahe. Tavangri renu sparashadhikaraha. Yadvanshaya shrir lalana charattapo. Vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata. Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahe. Tavangri renu sparashadhikarah. Yadvanshaya shrir lalana charattapo. Vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata.
Please chant.
Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahe. Grirenu sparashadhikarah. Vanshaya shri lalana charattapo. Vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata. Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahe. Tavangri renu sparashadhikarah. Yadvanshaya shri lalana charattapo. Vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata.
1 minute, let them. Okay. You go on, sorry.
Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahe. Tavangri renu sparashadhikarah. Yadvanshaya shri lalana charattapo. Vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata.
Any Matajis would like to try?
Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahe. Tavangri renu sparashadhikarah. Yadvanshaya shri lalana charattapo. Vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Kasya anubhavaha asya na deva vidmahe. What kind of things must our husband have performed that as a result of that he has got something very, very extraordinary? What is that? Tava angri renu sparsha adhikaraha. Angri means your feet, tava means yours, renu is the dust, sparsh means the contact, and adhikar means the qualification. So we are puzzled, we are bewildered, O Lord, as to how our husband could have got the qualification to get the dust of your lotus feet on his head. Because such a great fortune is aspired for, yad vanchaya, shrir lalana acharat tapaha, even by the topmost woman in this creation, that is Lakshmi Devi, Shri. And she has performed tapaha, austerities, for a long time, suchiram, vihaya kaman, giving up all other desires, with a firm resolve, dhritavrata. And still she doesn't get it so easily. But our husband has got it. So how is that? In this way, Lakshmi Devi was so attracted by Krishna's flute that she actually situated herself in penance for a long time so that she could enter into the intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. But of course, she was not allowed access because she was in the mood of being the queen of Vaikuntha. And that was not possible here in Vrindavan. So now, just to summarize, we have seen Mahaprabhu has given five examples of five different ways in which different qualities of Krishna have attracted different devotees. So let's recapitulate in just a minute or two. What was the first quality we talked about? Anyone remember? Krishna's fragrance, Saurabham. And who was attracted by that? The four Kumaras. What was the next quality? His pastimes. So who was attracted by hearing his pastimes? Shukadev Goswami. What was the next? His bodily, his beauty and his qualities. Or rather just his beauty. And who was attracted by that? The gopis. And the next quality was also his beauty and other qualities. And who was attracted? Rukmini Devi. And the fifth example is Krishna's flute playing. Because of Venu Geet of Krishna's flute, everyone became attracted, including Lakshmi Devi. And as a result of that, Lakshmi Devi even performed so many austerities for a long time in order to get the intimate association of Krishna, being attracted by that flute. In this way, Mahaprabhu has said that Krishna's qualities are all attractive and they attract everyone, and the different devotees are attracted by these different qualities in different ways. So we will continue the discussion tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Sorry, we've gone a little over time today. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.